everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. We're really excited today to bring you this bonus episode of the podcast. We're going to be talking about some fun films that have just landed on Disney Plus, Disney Channel, and the Netflix. I just forgot for a second. Yeah, Netflix. And we love doing these every once in a while. It's a lot of fun. And I am film critic Rachel Wagner, and Amy's here.
Hey, guys.
And my very good friend Jennifer Chandler's here.
Hello.
Yes. So I hope you guys had a good New Year, good January. It's been a little while since we got a chance to talk.
It was like 3 months long. January was forever. It was so long.
It really, really did.
It was really long.
I still feel like I haven't quite recovered from Christmas, to be honest. I'm still...
You know, like 2 weeks ago, I finally finished all the Christmas movies. So I haven't recovered yet.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's funny. So, all right. Well, we have a bunch. Some we're going to talk about a little, some we're going to talk about a lot. It's just going to be fun. So the first one that I thought we would talk about is Timmy Failure, Mistakes Were Made. This is on Disney Plus, and the very simple summary is just an 11-year-old boy who believes that he is the best detective in town runs the agency Total Failures with his best friend, an imaginary 1,200-pound polar bear. And I actually first heard about this movie. Well, I think I'd seen a trailer, but I heard about it at Sundance because it was actually screened at Sundance. And I've been kind of frustrated about the fact that Sundance, you know, back in the 90s, Sundance was the festival of the people making movies out of their van, you know, with like with like money they borrowed from their parents. Like, it was just really small and really, and now it's just so co-opted by Netflix and Amazon and some of these other studios that you see things that's like, this is hardly independent at all. And then I find
Didn't
out
you
that
say some of the things you saw were streaming while you were there.
Yeah,
like they were available on Netflix at the time.
Yeah, and especially annoying, the Taylor Swift documentary not only was streaming on Netflix while we were there, but they actually took up two spots in my pass.
What?
Mm. Yeah. So you buy the pass and you can go to any movies that are playing in this particular venue called the Grand. And they had the first and the last movie was was the Taylor Swift documentary. And I'm like,
what?
It's bad enough that it's there once. We have to see it take up two of our slots when we could have seen actual independent films. That was irritating.
I still have not watched that, by the way.
But just the fact that now Disney has a film at Sundance. What is going on? Like, that small little indie studio out there, Disney. And so I was pretty upset about it. But I have to say, once I saw it, I understood it a little bit better. Because there's definitely a kind of an indie sort of feel to the film.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, some people were joking that it's Portlandia for kids.
I don't know what that is, but sure.
Portlandia, it's a funny show just making fun of hipsters, basically.
Okay.
And people from Portland and stuff like that.
Well, everyone knows Portland's are hipster. People from Portland are hipsters. So.
Yeah, and so I kind of got it a little bit more, but I still don't think it should have been allowed at the festival. What is going on? But... so anyway, I had a little bit of a chip on my shoulder when I sat down to watch it. I'm just like, it's a Disney movie. And it's directed by Tom McCarthy and written and adapted by Tom McCarthy, who directed Spotlight that won Best Picture. Hmm. So it's pretty interesting pedigree. And I ended up loving this movie. I thought it was so cute. I just loved little Timmy. I thought he was so cute. I loved his deadpan like responses to everything, and just mistakes were made. And I thought that it had something to say that I appreciated, because I feel like we sort of force all kids to fit this sort of 1950s, sit in a desk all day and be lectured to, And if they don't do that, if they have a different way of processing things, then they're ADHD or they're a problem child or there's something wrong with them. And I felt like, here's Timmy. He's a really smart kid, but that is totally not him. You know, he's a free thinker. He's independent. And I appreciated that. And I loved certain scenes I thought were so well done. Like when he says goodbye to the polar bear, oh my gosh, I thought that was very, very, very good. And then I also loved the scene between him and Craig Robinson. And when he's talking to him about adaptability. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that was really sweet and really well done. And I don't know, I really enjoyed it. What did you think, you having children, Jennifer? What did you think of Timmy Failure?
Well, overall, I thought it was super cute. His haircut drove me crazy, personally. I was like, cut that boy's hair. You're a cool mom. You've got purple hair. You know that his hair shouldn't look like that. Like,
that's true.
Such a funny little haircut. It wasn't doing him any favors when he was already so different. But like you said, he was very endearing in that he was so different, and that, you know, I liked the way that she let him be him. Parenting wise, there's a lot of things that I was like, I don't know. I don't want to sound like a judgy jerk, but I was like, really? Like, you're going to just let him go wander around? And okay. Mm-hmm. That made me nervous.
She did have two jobs. So she was, I think, gone a lot.
I know. She was putting food on the table and a roof over their heads for sure. But it was just, I was like, oh my gosh, he just looked so little.
Yeah.
You know, the word 11 conjures up for me an older kid, which isn't maybe realistic, but he just seems so little and he's just, you know, all over the place. I thought the polar bear was really well done. When I heard about it, I was kind of worried it was going to be distracting or it was going to be, you know, bad CGI, and I thought overall it was very convincing. And I loved the what was the character's name, the meter maid?
Was it Zach or something like that? I can't remember. But he
or something weird.
Yeah, he was so good. I loved that whole scene when they go to the zoo. I thought it was really well done.
I was really pleasantly surprised by him, because at first I just, that goatee thing on his face, and I was like, oh, he's gonna be just the worst. And he ended up being so endearing, and I loved the way that he embraced Timmy's weirdness and like
his name was Crispin.
Crispin, yeah.
Yeah, Crispin.
Yes. So I was really pleased by how he ended up. I felt like he didn't change who he was as a character, but he adapted, you know, to Timmy and brought him into a more natural kind of relationship. They found common ground, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. But I thought it was a sweet film. It kind of reminded me a little bit, and I can't really put my finger on why, but of Matilda.
I can see that.
I can see that, yeah.
Kind of odd kids that don't really fit in.
Yeah, and she was not loved by her family. It's kind of flipped. Like, she was loved by everyone but her family, and he's loved by his family, and then everyone else is kind of like, you're strange.
Yeah.
But it had kind of that vibe, and I liked that. But overall, I thought it was really sweet. My daughter loved it. She was really sad about the polar bear part.
Oh, yeah, that part. Woo. It was really good.
It was a sweet film.
Yeah, and I always appreciate it in movies for kids, where they allow the child character to be weird. You know what I mean? Like, something I always liked about Lilo and Stitch is because Lilo, she's a weird kid with these weird dolls and like weird pictures of fat people, and like I love that. I think that makes, I love that. So it just brings the heart, I think, really really well. But Amy, what did you think about it?
I thought it was really cute and adorable. I do have to say, if I was in his class, though, I would have been so annoyed by this kid. Like, I would have been like, oh my God, will he be quiet? Yeah. But I was also, I was a very quiet child that did what she was told. And everyone who didn't, I was like, just so annoyed by. But I think this was a really, really cute movie. And I think I agree with you. Like, he was allowed to you know, be imaginative. And there's so many kids, like, you think of an 11-year-old these days, and at least, like, the 11-year-olds I work with, and they're, like, more concerned about how many Instagram followers they have than imagination. And, like, they don't have toys anymore, and they want to play on their mm-hmm. iPads and watch Netflix. That's not what that's not what I did as an 11-year-old. I was still playing with dolls when I was 11 years old, and a lot of my friends thought that was weird. And so I really enjoyed seeing a kid that might encourage people who watch it who are, like, 11, be like, hey, let's do something imaginative. Let's go outside and play a game or something, or even stay inside and play a game. Build a fort, for heaven's sake. I don't care. But, like, just doing something that doesn't necessarily involve technology or wanting to be, like, popular or, you know, use your imagination for as long as you can, children, please.
Yeah. yeah, and I just feel like sometimes we immediately take that kind of energy and we're like, you have behavior problems, you know, you can't sit during this lecture, we're gonna, you know. And sometimes I wish we would just, sometimes it's needed and it's absolutely valid and great. But sometimes it's just like, can we just take a step back here? Can we let this kid be whoever he or she kind of wants to be while keeping them safe? That's probably the difference in the real world with this. But yeah, I mean, Wallace Shawn, he is so great as, like, the exasperated teacher. He's so funny to me.
He is. He's on Young Sheldon too. He plays the professor, and he's really good on that too.
Yeah, and he was famously in Clueless as her debate teacher.
Never seen that.
It's really good. But anyway, he's quite funny. She tries to match him up with one of the other teachers, and it's cute. And but yeah, he's really good at that cranky teacher role. Yeah.
It reminded me, okay, the relationship between the two of them. Now, I haven't seen this movie since I was a really little kid, but it reminded me a little bit, like, of Dennis the Menace kind of like relationship between the two. And I thought that was cute. Again, haven't seen that movie since I was, like, 8 though. So I don't know, but that's what it reminded me of.
I can see that for sure. Definitely the mischief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And
one kind of the tension between the two where they are almost, like, at odds, and then that actually makes them bond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And little Timmy on that Segway was the cutest thing.
That at first I was like, is that okay? Is that dangerous for a child? Like, I don't know about this.
It was so cute.
I loved it when the mom was like, never, ever, ever. And he was like, that seems vague to me.
But, like, is that, like, the 21st century version of a Razor scooter? Is kids on Segways?
I don't know. I think just Timmy. Not a...
I think hoverboards are, like, that equivalent.
Yeah.
But one of my friends, I wish I could find it, but she had her I think her 11-year-old watched it and then wrote up a review. It was kind of funny. He's like, this movie is extremely racist towards Russians.
I mean, I could see it, I guess.
I could see it from that perspective when you're 11.
That's hilarious.
Because what they're trying to do with the whole Russian thing is it's just sort of the bad guy of the moment, you know, that you know, World War II movies, Germans, you know, it's probably bad to do that. But I think that's what was trying to, like, because you always hear on the news and stuff, it's like the Russians and
the collusion
to the Russians and collusion. Yeah. With the Russians. And,
well, he was such an old soul.
Yeah.
And so wouldn't surprise me if he was reading old comic books or, you know, I don't even know. I don't think the Hardy Boys.
Yeah, his attitude reminded me a little bit more of, like, Cold War type Russian issues than more recent Russian issues.
That's true. So I thought that was really cute. I can see their point. I can see his point. And It was just really, really cute. But I told her, I said, tell him it's not racist, I promise. It's just a fantasy. but yeah, so I loved this movie. I thought it was just so cute and funny. And so I have it pretty high up in my rankings for this year. I've already seen feature films, not TV movies. I've already seen 36 feature films this year.
No wonder you haven't recovered December yet.
And I put as number three, believe it or not. Wow. I really enjoyed it. Yeah. I've seen, if you're counting TV movies, I've seen 48
Jesus.
Movies 2020.
Sorry.
I saw 26 at Sundance, 26 films.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. I've seen one movie so far in 2020 in theaters. One. So.
Oh, no. That's funny.
Doing really great compared to Rachel. But I thought this was really cute. I'm going to give it like a 4.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a good score. I think I do. I mean, I don't know. I guess a 4.5, given our typical criteria or whatever. I really, really enjoyed it. What about you, Jennifer?
I think I'm going to go with a 4 as well. Yeah. I think that's a good place for it.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
All right, so we are going to talk about one that Jennifer hasn't gotten to see yet, but hopefully she can ask us some questions or talk about it. And so we're going to talk about Zombies 2, and this is the continuing adventures of Seabrook High students Addison and Zed, whose budding romance is threatened by the arrival of werewolves. So Amy, had you seen the first Zombies movie?
Yes, I love the first Zombies movie so much.
I do too. I think it's one of my favorite Disney Channel original musicals. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was very...
Is it a musical?
So yeah, basically what I want out of these Disney Channel original musicals, which people are way too hard on, in my opinion, what I want out of it is I want good choreography, I want good songs, and I want a cute message that teens and tweens will be able to enjoy. And because I admit, these movies are not made for me. They're not making these for 39-year-olds, you know, like podcaster. That's not their target demographic. And so I enjoyed the first one, especially the BAM sequence.
Mm-hmm.
With the fluorescent.
That thing is awesome. I love that song.
So good. And I think for the most part, most of these Disney Channel original movies, musicals, fulfill that. The only one that I think didn't like is the Freaky Friday.
Yeah, that didn't do it for me. I didn't. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think it would be a good play.
It is a good play. Yeah. I've seen it. It's good as a play, but not, they didn't do it right, I don't think.
That doesn't surprise me at all to hear that, because I don't know, it just felt like I was watching a play and it just didn't. Mm-hmm. So there was just some stuff that felt really weird and the choreography didn't work. So it didn't pass my three spots.
And I
test.
Think that's like the one of the only like musical Disney DCOMs that I didn't like was Freaky Friday.
Yeah, me too.
The rest of them I like pretty much. Yeah, so, me too. I mean, but just like you, Rachel, they're not making these for 22-year-olds. So.
I know, Jennifer, you're a big fan of the High School Musicals. Is that correct?
Oh, my word. And not the originals. High School Musical, the musical, the series.
I'm
embarrassingly obsessed with. It's so bad. It's so, so, so bad.
But I think I might actually have some time coming up that I can actually watch it finally.
I still haven't watched
it. I would love to hear your thoughts on that, and maybe we can talk about it. I don't know. Sean made me watch the High School Musical original movies, and I'm sorry to everyone who loves them, but I wasn't in that pool of people initially. I didn't see them growing up, and so watching them as an adult was just, I think I'd rather have a root canal. I think we talked about this before, but I have like sympathy, empathy, like to an extreme level, to where if I watch people be uncomfortable on TV, or I think they should feel uncomfortable and they're not, then I get super uncomfortable on their behalf. Mm-hmm. And like the whole High School Musical, all of them, I was just cringing the whole time. I just wanted to crawl under my chair. And then there was that terrible Fish song, which is another soapbox for another day. But
so have you seen the Hannah Montana movie then? I
no.
feel like you'd have similar work? Feelings. No, I feel like you'd no. have similar feelings towards that one.
I especially like the first High School Musical movie. I know a lot of people like the second and third ones better, but that's not me. I just think the original songs are so catchy, in my opinion.
Yeah. I remember watching that first one, and I think I was like 6, 7 when the first one came out.
I'm so old.
I know. I was like, don't worry. I was like 24.
Maybe I was a little bit older than it. It came out in like 2006, right? So I was 7 or 8.
Yeah,
I was like 7 or 8.
So and, I was 25.
Okay, well, sorry. let's all remind Rachel that she could be my mother. Okay, anyways. Oh, boy. But I remember watching it and seeing it, and I was a kid who loved the classic musicals, like old school Hollywood. Like Debbie Reynolds was the person I looked up to the most as a child, and most people thought that was super weird. So when I saw that they were doing a musical on Disney Channel and people were liking the songs, I was so excited.
Yeah.
I was so happy. And like, I mean, High School Musical isn't Grease, for heaven's sakes, but still, it's something that I will always like.
I think.
Well, I think it's a modern day, like more for my age group type of Grease. But like, I'll never forget that. And even if, you know, I do get embarrassed now watching it again, because I'm like, oh my gosh, why? But like at the same time, I mean, it gave us Zac Efron, so.
Well, for me, the high school, it has good choreography, has catchy tunes, and it has a decent message for teens. So yeah. I'm all about them. I liked the Descendants movies. I liked the Teen Beach movies, really fun. And then the zombie movie came, and it went, just so you know, Jennifer, it sets it up as this kind of allegory for sort of race relations. Basically they had the zombies learn to be able to control their zombiness through these wristbands, but they're still like excluded from the humans because they're zombies. And so that's sort of the setup of the first movie. And they have this really cool dance number where they're all in fluorescence and it's black light and everything. It was pretty cool. That was my favorite part.
They bounce off the floor.
Yeah.
It's
and
so cool.
Yes. And they have the two leads are Zed and Addison, played by
Milo Manheim and Meg Donnelly.
Who I love. Meg Donnelly, she's on American Housewife, which I think is a super underrated show. It's hilarious in my opinion, and she has a pretty good singing voice, I think.
Yeah, I think so too.
American Housewife is the all three of the kids are so good. If you watched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood this last summer, the little girl Julia Butters is also an American Housewife. It's a really good show. Anyway, but I think they're very well cast and they have good chemistry together. And so now in this sequel, the only thing that was disappointing to me about it is they basically have the exact same plot. I mean, exactly as the first movie, but now it's them trying to absorb werewolves. Kind of learn the exact same message. You agree, Amy?
Yeah, it gave me a New Moon vibes. Yeah. I was like, oh, and it wasn't done like New Moon was. It was more like, surprise, there's werewolves, congratulations. It's like in the next movie, oh, there's also witches and vampires and trolls, surprise.
Yeah, and yeah, I know. See, that's the thing. In the third one, I'll allow it for the second one. But if in the third one, they're like, surprise, vampires are now part of our
town. Well, we all know what it's going to be, though, because of that little end scene. We all know, but I don't want to admit it.
Because the thing is that I feel like now they've taught the message, which is an important message, mm-hmm. of tolerance and acceptance and everything for these teens. But now they have an opportunity where they could teach about something better, about not just not excluding people, but also like proactively making the world better. You know what I'm saying? Like, we could have a whole plot in the next one with them, you know, going to Congress or something like that, you know, like doing something good, because it's not just enough that we don't treat people badly.
Yeah.
We need to actively treat people good. we need to do good things in the world, not just not do bad things. And so I think it's a little bit of a missed opportunity. So that would be my main flaw with the film, but I still enjoyed it. And I felt like the singing was still really good. And I particularly liked the choreography and the singing in Flesh and Bone. There's a long number where they're talking about their generation. And I thought that was a very, very good sequence. About halfway through, it becomes this water dance, and that was really cool. And so I don't know. Did you have a highlight, Amy?
See, I feel like what I enjoyed it. It was good. I really wanted to see more Addison and Zed, though. Like, I really was like, all right, they need to be happy a little bit more. Like, come on.
Yeah, I can see that.
But what was kind of frustrating to me is normally when I watch these movies, these Disney musicals, I'll come out of it, like, there'll be one song in my head that I want to go on, you know, iTunes and get and listen to. But when I watched this one, there wasn't anything that, like, really stood out to me that I really want to listen to a lot. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, I have all the Descendants on my phone. I have the original Zombies. I got Lemonade Mouth. I have, you know, Teen Beach Movie. I have all those. And I listen to those a lot because I enjoy them. And this soundtrack, I just wasn't feeling it. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, super disappointing to me. And maybe I need to watch it again. But, like, I've never had to watch one of these movies again to, like, get into the music, which is, like, kind of disappointing. And it's not because of their singing voices. I just didn't really get into any of the songs, unfortunately.
What do you think of that water dance? That was pretty good, though.
I mean, that was cool. But it's
a little bit copying Step Up 3. But
yeah, that's what I was thinking when I saw it. But, like, I was watching it, and my little brother, he's 13, so, you know, he watched the first one with me. He's watched all these movies growing up with me. And, like, you know, he was born the year High School Musical came out. So, like, he was like, wait, where'd the water come from? He was so confused.
So I give this, in my Rotoscoper's review, I gave it a 3 out of 5, and I stand by that. I think it's perfectly harmless, fun little movie. I don't think it's as good as the first one, but
no, definitely not. I equated this to as this is what it would have been like if they would have made a Lemonade Mouth 2. Like, it would have been significantly not as great as the first. This isn't like, as far as sequels go, like, I mean, Teen Beach 2 irritated me, but this was not as good as Teen Beach 2, in my opinion. So
no, it's not as good. I like Teen Beach 2.
Yeah,
but so people have to check it out and let us know what you think.
Gave it a 3.5, which I think is solid. So
yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to throw in a little mini review here. I got to see this last weekend, see the romantic film called The Photograph. And this stars Lakeith Stanfield and Issa Rae. And it's about a woman whose mother's passed away, and she finds this photograph, and she starts kind of research, and her mom writes her this letter about her life that she leaves her behind. And so she starts to just kind of figure out more about her mother's life, because she's really resentful of her mom. And at the same time, she meets this reporter who is also sort of researching her mom, and also happened to see the same photograph. And at the same time, you also get the story of her mom and dad in flashbacks.
Oh.
And this is a very, very stylish, very soulful movie. The music is really good. It's very beautifully filmed. It is pretty sexy for, it's pretty steamy for a PG-13, just word of warning. But I really enjoyed it. I thought that the chemistry was off the charts, especially not as much for the flashback part, but especially for the modern part. And the ending was really good. And I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a good film. And they, like, for some reason didn't screen it for critics, and just, I felt like they kind of hit it, which is weird because it's a solid film. Like, it's definitely nothing to be embarrassed about. And so if you have it at playing in a theater, and you can handle a strong PG-13, then I think you'll enjoy it. So, and it's nice to have a story, a romantic movie like this that's quality made by a female filmmaker and starring people of color. You know, it's pretty cool. It's pretty good. So
I saw the trailer; it looked really good. And then after your comments online, I was like, okay, I definitely need to go see it.
Yeah, I think you should. I think you'd like it.
I probably won't end up seeing it in theaters because I'm bad at that. But I will definitely rent this when it gets to Redbox. So
yeah, it's good. It's a good one. So all right. Well, let's talk about P.S. I Still Love You. To all the boys, P.S. I Still Love You. And so we have Lara Jean and Peter have just taken their relationship from pretend to officially official when another recipient of one of her old love letters enters the picture. So Amy, I'll start with you this time. What did you think of the original film? And what did you think of this one overall?
Well, I think we made an episode where I talked about the original film. But
oh, yeah, you're right. I forgot that. But just to remind everybody.
Yeah.
I think we were all on that one.
I really enjoyed the first one. I've read the first two books at this point. I'm in the middle of reading the third one right now. I think it's really cute and sweet. And I loved the first one. And I've got a soft spot for Noah Centineo. Mm-hmm.
Well, we should say you got a special opportunity to see this.
I did. So my friend, Karen, shout out to Karen. I love you, Karen. And she was able to get us tickets to go to the premiere of P.S. I Still Love You. So I sat 2 Mondays ago on Hollywood Boulevard for 6 hours, and I got to be on the pink carpet. And I got to meet Noah Centineo and Lana Condor and pretty much the whole cast. And then I got to see the movie like 2 weeks early, and it was probably an amazing experience. That's probably jading my like judgment about this movie. But it was pretty awesome because like Noah Centineo said hi to me. Like we took a picture. And
I
then
can hear you smiling like a ridiculous amount right now. Your smile is audible.
And then like Lana, when she came up to me, because Lana Condor loves Harry Potter just like Laura Jean does in the books and in the movies. And so on my phone case, I have like just a pink sparkly phone case, and then I have a Gryffindor pop socket. And she, like, I went to go take the picture with her, and she grabs my phone and, like, is like, oh, what's that? And I'm like, oh, I'm a Gryffindor. And she's like, you look like a Gryffindor. And I just, like, got so happy. Like,
it was worlds are colliding in one.
I know. It was so great. And, you know, like, everyone else who we got to meet, like, a lot of other people rushed down. Like, Noah and Lana specifically stayed and met everyone who asked for a picture, which was really awesome. They walked down the carpet super slowly. Other people were rushed down by like their publicists and stuff, so like you didn't get to talk to them or anything, but like those 5 seconds with both of them, I was so happy. I was so excited. I wish we would have known we were interviewing Trezzo like a week later. I wish I would have known at that point, because I would have said, oh hi, yeah, like my colleagues are gonna talk to you next week or whatever. Colleagues, that's what I'm
calling. We got on the podcast, we got to interview Trezzo Mahoro, and he was so funny and great. And so if you haven't listened to that interview, you definitely should. He was really good. It was really fun.
But I enjoyed the movie so much. And I mean, I got to have an amazing experience because of it. And, you know, I will sit on Hollywood Boulevard for 6 hours for Noah Centineo again.
Yeah.
And Lana too. Lana
that
was
could sound really confusing, but yeah. For the premiere.
It was, okay, you wanted to get a good seat. So we were the third group in line, and we got there like 11:30 noon, and then they brought us onto the carpet at 4:30, and then we got to go into the theater, and the movie actually started at 7:30. Yeah. So, like, even though we had tickets, we wanted to get, like, a good spot on the carpet, so that's why we got there so early.
Yeah. No, that's what you gotta do. I mean, even just here in the local screenings, like, not even premieres, almost every single weekend, I would go 2-3 hours early in order to get in before I was on press.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, how do you always see all these movies for free? And I'm like, I paid my dues, man. I waited in so many lines. And that's after actually going through the whole process. Sometimes I would drive all the way into Salt Lake to get my ticket, but the ticket wasn't actually valid because they give out more tickets than they have seats. Yeah. And so I'd have to go all the way out to get my ticket, and then I'd have to show up to the screening 2-3 hours early. And I mean, even unless it's like something nobody cares about, but like, I remember barely getting into Wonder Woman.
Oh, wow.
We were waiting in the standby, and this lady came out and was like, here's, I'll give you a ticket. I was like, ah!
I learned early because, like, Hollywood, you know, there's a lot of like tapings and stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, particularly I love America's Got Talent, and like, I learned early that if you want to see any of the talent, if you get there like 5-6 hours early when they're going in for practice, normally you'll be able to say like, hi, I love you, or like, they'll take a picture with you or something beforehand, because no one's there yet and they're just going into rehearsal, which, don't bombard anyone, just say, be nice. Yeah. Okay, anyways, but like, you know, I love having those opportunities, and you know, I'm still at an age, I'm 22, where like, Los Angeles fascinates me. So most older people I talk to, they're like, why would you go to Hollywood Boulevard for 6 hours? And I'm like, but let me tell you, I had an experience that someday in the future. Well, and
you had friends there. It's not like you were
There was like, my friend Karen and I went, and then she had a bunch of other friends that were going. So there was like 6 of us, and we were all sitting in a circle. We ended up playing Go Fish on the side of, on Hollywood Boulevard with cards I bought for $2 at a souvenir shop. And like, we were trying to entertain
together.
Yeah, so... I'm excited, and I'm signed up, so hopefully when the next one happens, I'll be able to go to that one as well, because I want to see the third one's premiere now, and I got on another list. I keep getting on these lists to go to things, so I keep getting emails now from this specific theater to go to premieres of things that I've never heard of, but like, hey, I have that opportunity now.
Yeah. Well, so my thoughts on this film. So the first film, I liked it. It was cute enough, but I did think it was a little overrated, people calling it one of the best teen romantic comedies ever made. I was like, whoa, slow down.
Well,
I wasn't made, there.
Maybe in my generation, maybe for my generation it was, but not ever made. That's an exaggeration.
Yeah, I wasn't there. Just the thing that kept me back from going from good to great, the thing that held me back is I just felt like Peter was kind of a bland character. Like, he didn't have, I just felt like he agreed to everything way too easily and was just kind of a bland. I like my romantic characters to have a little bit of pushback, you know, and be a little bit snarky and a little, and I just didn't feel like I got that from him, and I kind of wanted it a little bit more. I wanted a little more personality. And so it was perfectly cute. It was fine. I just didn't think it was as great as everyone seemed to think it was. So I felt like it kind of got a little bit more credit than it deserved, because of like, Crazy Rich Asians came out right at the same time. So it was like, Asians and rom-coms, woohoo! Which I think is great, but I don't know. And so then the sequel, and I'm in the minority, but I actually preferred this sequel, because I felt like the relationship between Largene and Peter was really well handled, and particularly just I really liked the fact that nobody pressured her in any way into intimacy that she was not comfortable with. Like, her choices were respected, and I felt like he, as Peter as a character, actually had some kind of gumption and was making his own, was just more interesting to me as a human, as a character, than he was before. And so I liked that. And I liked all the stuff with her family. I thought the thing with her dad was so cute, and the dating. And I thought the whole thing with her, like, honoring her Korean heritage. And I thought things were a lot better with her sister in this one, her little sister. And then The only thing that I didn't really like is that I felt like you could have axed the entire love triangle off of this movie and I would not have missed it at all. I just, it was weird. And I know that in the book, it's like way better, I guess.
Yeah, it is. It is.
But, way better in the book, yeah. And I thought that Jordan Fisher was charming, but in my opinion, he was just kind of her work buddy. I didn't really.
It was more like.
It wasn't her love triangle to me. It was just kind of like, here's this person I work with.
He liked her and it was like, okay. It was like it reminded me of like a third grade crush. Not like something more than that. But, you know, I have my whole soapbox about the. Who played John thing, but I won't get on that right now.
But so I could have done away with the whole love triangle. I didn't need it. I didn't care about it. But I did like Holland Taylor as Stormy. I thought that the whole makeover scene and her, she was just a really fun old lady. She was great.
You did such a good job.
Yeah. And I loved the whole thing of the off season Thanksgiving.
That's
really cute.
That's really cute, yeah.
So for all those reasons, I enjoyed it a lot. I thought it was really cute. And I don't know, what did you think, Jennifer, about this sequel?
So I really appreciated the recap at the beginning of the movie. And I was surprised that once that started playing, like how sentimental I felt toward the first one. I haven't watched it since the first time when we talked about it. So I didn't dislike it. I don't even remember what I rated it at the time, to be honest. But I was really excited to see this one. I feel like the music is really fun, and I love the house. Rachel and I were talking before we started recording about houses, and I was like, if I could move into that house, I would totally move, because I just think it's super cute. I love her family and the little family dynamic that they have. I love the Thanksgiving. I'm really curious if turkey sales are going to start going up in March. like all of a sudden it's going to be a thing. If Hallmark jumps on that and starts promoting it as a holiday.
Oh my God. They won't do Thanksgiving during Thanksgiving, but they'll start doing it in March.
So I thought overall it was really cute. I really like Peter. I think you're right though, Rachel. I think he had a lot more personality and gumption, like you said, this time around than he did last time. I took notes while I was watching it. And it's just, I said, Guy sounds just like Mark Ruffalo more this time than last time. Like, if you just close your eyes, it's Mark Ruffalo. It's not even that guy. It's crazy to me. I love the musical cues and the ambiance of the film. Love with lots of O's their house. Love their sappy dad. I said they would never, on capital letters, give away such a cute snow globe at a carnival. That really bothered me. There's like all these cheesy animals and then like a super cute snow globe. Never happened. And then all of a sudden, the reason I'm reading this is because of this part. So my next note is dying in all capital letters of awkwardness. The next one, dying. The next one, dying. The next one, awkward. The next one, fetal position. Those are my notes on this movie. I know that's super weird. I'm a total weirdo, but I felt like it was so good at capturing the awkwardness of like first love and how are you supposed to feel, and her being all like, I thought when you had a boyfriend you stopped thinking about other guys. It was so painfully realistic that I was just physically in agony. But it was super cute. And I could not, though. I haven't read the books. I couldn't agree with you more. I hated the love triangle. I hated the way they ended it with that guy. It was just like, he's never going to kiss anyone again, ever. He's just,
I know, right?
It's just the worst. So I hope the book does his character more justice.
Yeah.
But yeah, it definitely does.
Wasn't the best.
There's a lot more like where they actually kind of like go on dates. Like they go out. There's a lot more development of that relationship than just them hanging out at work. I don't like how they cut a lot of that out, as well as, this is just my opinion, someone come at me, I guess. I love Jordan Fisher, but I didn't necessarily like him in this part, and I think he's fantastic, and I think if they would have written it closer to the book, I think I would have liked him better, possibly, in this part. you know, there was someone else who I thought really should play this role, but they took the role away from him, and that's it. Okay, I'm done. I'm not going to talk about
it. Oh. Yeah, because okay. There's a cameo at the end of the first movie, and so
and
he was devastated.
He was in a Hallmark movie previously. That's why I knew about him and knew he was going to be in this cameo at the end of the first movie. And when they recast him, it was really upsetting, not to him, but like, not only to him, but to everyone else who supports him. And like, I wish I would have been able to see him in that part. His name's Jordan Burchett. He's awesome. He's on Heartland. If you want to support him, go watch Heartland. But like, you know, I wish I would have been able to see him in this part. But at the same time, I think Jordan Fisher did a good job. I just would have liked if they'd written his character differently.
Yeah. It just felt completely extra. It felt like it was not needed at all. Superfluous. Yeah. It felt superfluous to me.
Yes.
But
I just realized what a slap in the back. They go from one guy named Jordan to the next guy named
That's true.
my brain. Okay.
So I would give this 3.5 stars. What about you, Jennifer?
Same, actually. That was exactly what I was thinking, was a 3.5. I enjoyed it. I'd watch it again. I think part of it was even made more fun because I watched it with my aunt and uncle, and they're like, "Wait, what's happening?" It's like, I had to explain like all the different dramas.
Yeah.
But I really wish they'd utilized that other character. Not that I'm a fan of love triangles in particular, but if you're gonna do it, do it.
You got to do it like Bella and Edward and Jacob if you're gonna do it.
Okay. So seriously, if you could ever convince him to do it, a podcast with Sean on Twilight would be the funniest thing ever. It would be the best. It would be the absolute best.
Yeah, we've done one on Twilight. I didn't.
Sean Chandler, right? I'm talking about right, Jennifer. Okay.
Yes. Sean Chandler talks about, yes.
Okay.
And Ryan George from Pitch Meeting just actually did a Twilight pitch meeting, and it, like, I was crying. I was howling in the kitchen while Sean was watching it in the living room. It was the funniest, accurate thing. If you haven't seen that, you should definitely check that out as well.
I was never a big fan of the Twilight movies. I liked the first two books, and then I didn't like, they lost me at the love triangle. I was not a fan. But I just didn't really love the casting. So it wasn't for me, but I also, these people that put it as like the worst, one of the worst movies ever made. I'm like, slow down. It is not one of the worst movies ever made.
There are a lot worse.
Yeah, there are way worse. Most of them starring Adam Sandler.
It's obviously the wrong time because I was much older, but I feel like it's kind of My High School Musical. Mm. Like, it's a film that doesn't hold up well over time. But at the time, my friends and I were all reading the books. Yeah. We were all watching the movies. We'd go to the midnight screenings because they didn't have the 7 p.m. showings on Thursday. Yeah. And so we'd just go and wait in line for forever. And then we'd go into those ridiculous marathons where they'd show the first film when the second film released. And so then you'd watch them back to back. I mean, it was just this whole thing. And it was the whole experience of it with my friends that made it that great. But so I can't ever hate them. Yeah. But they're not
great. Let's make Jennifer feel old now. I was 11 when the first movie came. My mom had to go see it first in theaters before she could let me see it to make sure it was appropriate because it was PG-13.
Right.
That's a good mom.
I know.
Yeah, I ended up seeing three of them with my younger sister, which is funny because she's like, I don't know, so different now than when she was little. It's funny. But
I
all right.
I was super pregnant when the last one came out, and I could not, like, I was physically ill because of all this stuff. It was so bad.
That's the best one. The last one.
I can imagine being pregnant and watching that movie. Oh, my God.
It was so bad.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
That's like my mom's horror story of she was pregnant with me and decided to go see Titanic in theaters, and that was a bad idea.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. So there was one other one movie coming to Netflix that I wanted to share with you guys. Because it's an animated film that I was really excited about. It's the Shaun the Sheep Farmageddon. It's the sequel to the first Shaun the Sheep movie. And I loved the first Shaun the Sheep movie. I think that the whole series really captures the sort of silent movie type of physical comedy. They don't have any dialogue with the characters. I mean, they're sheep. But they have them I don't know, doing crazy things and being funny. And I just really liked the first one. So I was really excited for the second one. I really love the claymation, the stop motion animation. And so they were going to release this in theaters. And it actually came to the UK last year. And so I, you know, I've been waiting for it. And then it turned out they weren't going to put it in theaters. So it went to Netflix. And it was an interesting idea. Instead of it just being about the sheep, they take a big trip to the city in the first one, which was really cute. In this one, there's an alien. And I thought the alien was really cute, really adorable, and that they meet and all kinds of hijinks and shenanigans happen, and they drive the dog of the farm crazy. I don't know. I just thought it was really cute, and I really like Sean. I think he's really cute, and I like the animation. And so I very much enjoyed it. I'm a big fan of the studio Aardman Animation. I didn't really love their last movie called Early Man because it was all about soccer. And I'm not the biggest fan of soccer, and they didn't quite get the jokes. But this one I really enjoyed. And so there we go. And I thought for sure that Amy would like it, and she hated it. So here we go, Amy.
I'm not going to say much about this because obviously this film was not made for me. But I just want to ask you, Rachel, you realize there was no words in this movie, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the whole comedy of the whole series.
I didn't know that. And I was excited because a YouTuber I've loved since I was really little played the pizza boy in this movie. And I was like, oh, I'm excited to hear him voice a character. Oh, no. He just made noises.
Yeah, there was no words. It's supposed to be kind of like Charlie Chaplin or like
I love Charlie sort of, Chaplin. That's
the kind of comedy, a sort of silent movie kind of
silent movies. I'm cool with silent movies. This was an hour and a half of torture for me, and it's amazingly well done. Amazing artists did this, but the fact that there was no actual words being spoken, I kept trying not to fall asleep, and I'm frustrated. Anyways, I watched this for you, Rachel, and now you can just tell everyone Amy loves me because she sat for an hour and a half and watched a sheep dance around a screen with no voice. Okay, anyway.
Yeah, so like there's little like comedic set pieces, like for instance where they decide to order a pizza and like all the things that they have to do mm-hmm. in order for the sheep to order pizza, and I think that's funny. And and yes, there is no voices. I probably should have told you that going into it.
Because I literally knew. I'm like, oh, Joe Sugg voiced the pizza guy because I watch his vlogs. And I'm like, oh, cool. I'm excited to see him voice an animated character. I've been watching his vlogs since I was like 12. No voice, just sounds. And I was like, well, I don't know why I was excited for that because there was no him audibly talking.
Yeah. There's also like funny instances like where they are trying to hide the alien and mm-hmm. they take it to the grocery store, and that's I think funny. It's very in the old school kind of physical comedy,
yeah,
kind of crazy hijinks kind of a thing. And so yeah, I don't know, did you ever see Shaun the Sheep, the first one, Jennifer?
Yes, I love Wallace and Gromit and Shaun the Sheep. I love Wallace and Gromit and The Curse of the Were-Rabbit.
Yes, so good.
I love all of those. And like a lot of times I make that little cheese gesture and nobody knows what I'm doing, and it's just sad. And I think one of the things that's the most stressful as a parent who really appreciates something, whatever that thing is, whatever thing you really like the most stressful thing is when in your child's life you introduce them to that thing,
right,
so that you can give them the best chance to not hate it.
Right. So I picked incorrectly with kids. Amy.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about claymation.
This is a parenting scenario. I did poorly.
Here's the thing about claymation, okay? Claymation is gorgeous, and I think it's a talent. The first claymation movie I ever saw scared the crap out of me. And ever since then, I'd never seen Shaun the Sheep. I've never seen any of those movies because they scare me.
That's so, fair. Some of it's terrifying. That's completely
and that was Caroline, and it scared.
Oh, I love Caroline.
It scared the absolute bejeebers out of me. But you have to think about when Caroline came out. I was 10, I think. So I was so scared of that movie.
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
Oh my god, my eyes are gonna turn into buttons, and I was so scared. So Claymation, it will forever terrify me.
That's legitimate.
But yeah, I especially love in the first Shaun the Sheep when they all go to dinner. I think that's really funny. That whole scene. That whole scene is right out of like Buster Keaton, Charlie Chaplin, like that kind of broad physical comedy. And I
love it when he gets shaved and then they make him a sweater out of his own wool. Like,
right? Yeah. And I like because the farmer gets amnesia and he learns how to be this great hairstylist. It's so good. But anyway, I think that most people will really enjoy it. Most people on my Twitter seem to really be enjoying it. It's got 97% on Rotten Tomatoes.
If you're terrorized by Coraline, then don't watch it.
Yeah. So I think most people will really like it. And I'm excited that it is on Netflix because they, you know, put a lot of effort into these films and then people don't go and see them for some reason. So hopefully people will find it because it's on Netflix. We'll see it, and I love Aardman. I got to interview Nick Park, the creator of Wallace and Gromit, last year, and that was amazing. And and so I really, even though I wasn't the biggest fan of his movie, I guess maybe it was 2 years ago actually, but it was fine. It just wasn't my favorite as far as the humor, But anyway, so yeah, if you have kids especially, I think they will really enjoy Shaun the Sheep, Farmageddon. They'll get a kick out of it. And
okay,
you know, and there's a whole Shaun the Sheep television show with multiple seasons, and it's so charming.
Is Wallace and Gromit the one with the terrifying rabbit?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the Curse of the Were-Rabbit.
I saw that one also. I was about 6 or 7. That also was scary.
Anyway. So I should not show that to my children right now. Okay, noted.
I mean, it depends how scared they get. Like, I was scared of everything when I was little, though. So, yeah.
But anyway, it's check it out. I think most people will really like it. Cute little Sean and the alien.
Lulu. I give it a 3 because I think it's still like an awesome artistic feat to make something like that.
Uh-huh.
Even though it's definitely not made for me, so I'd say it's a 3. It's cute. It's like well made. It's just I personally am not the person to be watching it.
Fair enough. I would give it a 4.5. I have it right after Timmy in my ranking. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed both of those a lot. But I think we can generally say that Timmy Failure was our favorite, right?
Yeah.
Of the three of us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So watch Timmy Failure. It's really cute. Let us know what you thought of it and all these different movies. I know there are a lot of different opinions on PS I Love You, or I Still Love You. So let us know what you thought and in the comment section or on Twitter. And thanks so much, Jennifer, for especially on a very busy day for you to take the time to do this. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Yeah. And Amy, where can people find you?
You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter at It's Amy Craig.
Great. And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, everywhere, and Rotten Tomatoes. And make sure you're following the podcast at Hallmark Pod and Hallmark Podcast, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, everywhere. If you're listening on iTunes, please leave us your ratings and reviews. We really appreciate that. And if you are listening on YouTube, please give us a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. We also have our Patreon group, which is really fun and only $2 a month to join. Get exclusive content like Amy just barely did and ask Amy 5 questions. And
it's pretty fun. It was fun. Woo!
Yes. So check that out. We would so appreciate your support. And then we also have our merch store, which has a ton of new Hardee's-inspired merch. So you're going to want to check that out. And so thank you again, girls. I really appreciate it. And we'll talk again soon when we get more Netflix and Disney Plus movies. Bye.
Bye.